How can you have an effective and affordable church website? We'll talk about it today.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Hey friends, welcome to the podcast. Before we get rolling this week, I have some big news to share. If you listened to last week's podcast, you know this already, but I'm going to be sharing it every week with you. It's some pretty massive news, so brace yourself, faithful listeners of this podcast. I started this show in 2015, so we've been at it for 8 years straight, dropping weekly episodes, plus a lot of bonus episodes along the way, too. So I have some bad news, and I have some really great news for you as well. Bad news first. I wanted to let you guys know that this podcast, Making Sunday Happen, will be wrapping production with episode number 430. So there'll be about 9 more weeks of weekly episodes of this podcast. We'll be wrapping it up with a bang. It's all going to lead up to my exclusive one-on-one interview with Pastor Craig Groeschel. So that is the bad news, is this podcast will be wrapping up. But the great news is you're not getting rid of me. We have a massive training library that we are building now, and it's going to include brand new podcasts. I'll be hosting a brand new weekly podcast that you'll want to check out. We're also adding more personalities to the platform. So we'll be adding more podcasts. You'll also see courses, webinars, books, articles, and more. So where this podcast has had more of a broad scope of whoever plans, creates, and executes the worship experience, the new weekly podcast that I'll host will be called Your Visuals Matter, and we'll focus solely on how to visually communicate the gospel using graphics and video. So we're going to walk through topics like what the Bible says about using visuals to share the gospel. What if I don't have screens at my church? Where do I start? What presentation software is right for your church? How to use ready-made graphics and video at your church effectively? How to move from your in-house creative team to an outsourced team, or use both? How do you get custom media done at your church? All to help you visually communicate the gospel. All that and more is coming on this brand new podcast. We're in production right now on season one of the show, and it's going to be awesome. I can't wait for you to join us for that. So I'll be sharing more in the weeks to come of what that new podcast is, where to find it, all the additional training that we'll be adding to our platform, and more. I want to keep you very updated, I'll update you some more, but I wanted to let you guys know of these changes firsthand from me. Thank you so much for being a faithful listener, a faithful viewer of this podcast. All the archive episodes of Making Sunday Happen will still be on the platform, so you'll still be able to access every single show that we've ever done. Plus, we'll be adding new. So lots of brand new stuff, lots of momentum is on the way. All right, on today's episode, I'll be talking with my friend Paul Cox. Paul owns The Church Co., and they offer a fantastic solution for customizable websites at an affordable price. They also offer custom apps, an online giving platform, and more. My conversation with Paul is coming up. Hey, ministry leader, have you ever done anything that people were confused by? I have, and that's what happened in relation to our name here at 1230 Media. We've heard the confusion every time that we've heard questions like, do you spell it out? Is it numbers? Is it letters? There's a colon in there, right? Is this a Bible verse? Is it a time of day? So, spoiler alert, we are changing our name, and here's why. It all started with the best intentions. My wife Katie and I originally wanted a name that described how our company and you do ministry. That it's not about the flash of graphics and video, it's about discipleship. So in Mark 12:30, Jesus summed up authentic ministry by saying it's when you love God and love people. Loving God and loving people is the definition of the Christian faith. It's how we walk out our faith. We couldn't have said it better, so we edited Mark 12:30 down to 12:30 media. We wanted to keep the main thing the main thing, that it was about discipleship and spiritual growth and salvation, more than just the flash of graphics and video. But as we grew, the name has been a challenge for those we serve. It's been a challenge for people like you. Well, we've heard you, and we are changing our name, even though we always want to help see changed lives and it not just be about being flashy. Our brand new name will ultimately help everyone remember it and create a tighter focus on what we really do well. I know you're ready to know, but our team is not quite ready to reveal our name and our new branding yet. There's a ton of work to prepare for it to be a very clear, organized launch of our new brand. We are so excited to share it with you. That will be coming in the next few weeks. But thank you so much for letting me share this with you. I want to give you a brand new free mini movie for your time. Since we're working on our identity, we thought it would be fun to give you this brand new mini movie all about finding our identity in Christ. It's at 1230media.com/identity, and I want you to use the promo code identity. Again, 1230media.com/identity, and just put the word identity in the promo code box at checkout to get this video completely free. In a matter of weeks, I'll be sending out a video announcing our brand new name and logo. It is incredible, and you'll be excited to hear how the change will help you visually communicate the gospel. I'll see you then. Hey guys, I'm hanging out with Paul Cox from The Church Co. Paul, we're here at SALT, and you have we've had you on the podcast before. It's all been digital because you're way in Australia.
I am.
Way away from me.
I made it over, though.
You did. So how long was the flight over? You win the prize for longest to get here.
I probably did. It was bad layover, so it was about 36 hours.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
Still waiting for that prize, though. Let me know. You can ship it to me.
Yes. Well, we definitely will, because and it's going to take you the same to get back.
That's right. Yeah.
So you blocked out like a week and a half for
pretty much for travel. Yeah. Worth it though.
Awesome, man. Well, glad to have you here. I'm so happy to meet you in person and just hang out. So for those who don't know about The Church Co., tell them a little bit about what you guys do there.
For sure. So we're a website platform for churches, but you don't have to do it yourself. So it's like we have all the ability for you to build your own website, but we actually give you a whole team to work with you and do it for you. Like, our big mission is, like, if churches have better websites, and we have data to show this, more people actually attend the church. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they had 800% increase in website traffic since launching on The Church Co. And so, like, our team just comes in, works with you, designs, build the websites, and then make sure you know how to keep it up to date.
Is your website, you know, we hear this phrase that the website is the front door now to the church, instead of maybe billboard or signage outside of your church, something like that. Is that true? It is the place that people check out before they attend, either physically or online?
100%. And so, like, every year around Easter, I do a big data pool to see, like, how did people find church websites? And 40% of all traffic going to church websites over Easter, it's the highest grouping, is all from Google search. So if you're just running a Facebook page, or you're running a website that's, you know, not mobile optimized, you're going to be downranked and people aren't going to find your church. And it's funny because we put a ton of effort into social media campaigns and all that. It was only 11% of traffic over Easter weekend came from social. So website is absolutely still the front door.
So Google search is definitely what I need to be pouring my
SEO,
the eggs in
Google,
that basket.
Your website is definitely where new people are finding your church.
So let's talk about your model. You're more of a modular structure, mm-hmm. Meaning it's more template-based. I pay a subscription each month. There are different packages, and I'm going to take the modules and kind of piece them together as my website, correct? Am I explaining
that right?
That's right.
It's similar to all the do-it-yourself systems. The difference is that, like, one, we usually get information from you, and we build your first draft for you.
Okay.
And then we work with you to make sure you know the platform, okay. And that it's designed the way you want. But second, it's the church-specific features. So an online prayer system, online giving, Connect group management, event system, church online on your website, so you're not linking to someone else's website. Like, these are the things that make it so that you're really doing digital ministry well.
So talk to me about the back end. I want to come back to church online, but tell me about the back end. How much, I don't need any coding knowledge.
None.
I don't need to know WordPress, which is kind of the, people don't know, is kind of the back end, how you, a platform to build websites on. I don't need to know any of that.
No.
How simple is the back end of, I can have my admin maintain my website, right?
That was the whole goal, is like, we understand that like churches often are spending lots of money on this, and we wanted to make it so that a pastor who's just planting a church or someone that's really busy like didn't have to spend a lot of time on this. So let's say you have two services in the morning, like 9 and 11, and you're like, we're going to start a Sunday night service at 5 p.m. Like, we just have a thing, a list in our system is like, when's your services? You add that service and the system knows how to lay that out and how to design it well for you. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's AI, but it's just really good coding.
Right,
like,
right.
It's right. Like, we're going to add this to a list, and we make sure that it does well, and it you know, it's mobile optimized. You never have to design a separate mobile site for the end desktop site. It's all just like made to respond correctly.
Good. Yeah. All right. So let's jump back to church online. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that everything was held inside my website, which I am preaching every day, twice on Sunday, that it needs to be your website that is the hub for action. And I want to see if you agree with this, that I want to send people to firstbaptist.com/live.
Yeah.
Like, that is my marketing push. I don't really want to send them to Facebook or YouTube, even if I have my live stream there, my a presence there. I'm still fine with them having a presence there. But I want a hub that I own, that I control, that I can control the chat window. I can control everything about that environment. You agree with that?
100%. Because like, if you're going to post that on a Sunday, right? Churches online, go to firstbaptist.com/live, right? What happens on Monday? Because like, you're posting on Facebook, algorithms come up later, right? I might see it 3 days later. I click on the link, and if that's going somewhere else, like, you know, what is the service is off. You've missed that opportunity. But if it's on your website, you have the opportunity to use, like for us, we have a church offline feature. So when your live stream is not on, you swap it out with a welcome video introducing your church to this person. You're getting this amazing reach from social media, but if you're sending them to a dead link, there's no point. Like, if you get an opportunity to link someone to somewhere, it should be your website.
Yeah, so I think that's a great point. I did a big, right during the pandemic, the first couple of Sundays, I did this big audit of like 50 churches over a week or two. And that's one thing that I really found a lot is I would go to the website and I could not find the church online. I'm like, we are all online.
Yeah.
It should be right there on my homepage.
Just put it there.
Please make it obvious. So that was a big thing, is I could not find their online presence, their online church online experience at all. That was one. Secondly, I would go to it and it would off air. It would be either offline and in even like it would be 5 minutes before or even 3 minutes before service is supposed to start. I would see this, you know, color bars kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, just offline. No, with nothing on there. Not, hey, we're going to start up in a minute. Here's a countdown. Here's a... And so that's what I love what you're saying about this offline feature, that it engages. When I go there, I'm going to be engaged with. That can be a video. That can be slides. I would definitely do video.
Yeah.
But
if you can do a video, do a video.
Yeah. Obviously, we know from stats online that video is where it's at. Got to show a video. But yeah, kind of walk me through that church offline feature. Do you agree with that
100%
model?
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, like it's interesting, right? At the beginning of COVID, like we've learned so much since then. But, you know, we still said like, okay, we're doing this at 9 on a Sunday. But it kind of is like, hey, you know what? I'm feeling like watching a Netflix special. And I turn on Netflix and it's like, it's not 9 on a Sunday. You can't watch it.
Right.
But like we need to think of online differently now. Like if you're doing a live gathering, that's awesome. But if you're offline at that moment, give people an option to like introduce yourself, but also be like, hey, you missed the last week's service. Here's a link to it.
Yes.
You got to be thinking in their context. Like, don't make them cave to you. Like, we go to them. That was the Great Commission, right? So we can do all of this digitally, and there's tools that do it. And I think it does take a little effort, but like systems like ours and there's others let you schedule these things.
Yeah, and I don't see why you couldn't have a 3 p.m. service on a Sunday, a 6 p.m. Tuesday night service.
Yeah.
And you're just replaying back the, I mean, that's what we're watching on Sunday morning anyway, is the broadcast or the experience. Why not do that over again? So it can be anytime, and it also can be VOD, video on demand.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't see why I can't watch the entire service. You know, a lot of times we clip out the message, and we do that because we can live stream the songs, but right. we might not can archive the yeah. the music. Totally understand
that's
that.
Fair.
But definitely, so maybe talk through that. How do you, what's your video on demand structure? And what are some of the other features that you guys offer with Church Code?
Yeah, so during the live stream, we have all of the normal things like give online, digital prayer, but we have it all right there, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to link away to yep. see it. Since you're on your website, you're in the place to take all of these actions, right? That's the call to action. But then when you go into the sermon archive system, you can actually include all of the things that are there for the live stream, like take notes for this sermon, because we have like a notes archive that the pastors pre-fill out, let you follow along. So if you're mm-hmm. watching a video on demand, you still have all of the note outlines to follow along with, the scripture references, and you can tag those by the speaker, the location, all of that, search by the series, like everything you would want to do. You know, it's basically right. like a Netflix for your church video archive.
Right. Yeah. Good. I think one thing that really separates you guys is I don't have to spend a whole large amounts of money on my website. Do you kind of go with me in that? Do I need something more robust? I think a lot of churches don't need that. They just need kind of basic stuff. But can you grow with me? If I'm ready to go further, how do I do that with Church Code?
Yeah, absolutely. We have three plans. There's an entry-level one. It covers all the things you'll need for a website, right? We have a middle plan that has more integrations with church CMSs or CHMSs, yep. right? And then we have like a higher-end plan where it's like, if you want to outsource everything and you just want us to be the volunteer that never goes to college and like you get left with a website, you can do that as well. And that one, you know, includes a mobile app. But we've seen, like my experience, like working at Hillsong, back in the day, like, we were a huge church and we used to plant churches. We can build things that scale from a very small congregation all the way up to like some of the biggest congregations in the world. And that's like the range of customers we have using us now, like churches that are planting and just getting started and then huge churches with tons of locations all around the world.
Good. So what are some problems that your customers have been coming to you for that you've been able to solve? Mm-hmm. Or maybe problems that they're looking for in general that you've already solved? Like, yeah. How do you solve stuff for the church?
Yeah, we like to listen to the customers a lot. Like, one of the big parts of our team is the customer support team. So we really listen to the feedback that's coming in from the churches about what could make this better, and then we iterate on those things. Like, we launched our church online system, like, within one day of an initial like lockdowns. So we were just moving fast to make sure that we were serving the church the best we could. Like another huge one is the integrations with the CHMSs. Because mm-hmm. There's not a lot of those are actually available with places like Planning Center and PushPay. Like we're fully integrated with all of these systems. And what that means is like, we're making it easier on you. If you upload your group to PushPay or you upload your group to Planning Center, those things are instantly on your website. You don't have to do the hard work of saying like, I'm going to add it here and then I'm going to add the event to the website and then I'm going to add it to the app. No, your app, your website, your CHMS, everything is in sync. So because we're from church, we right. know the pain and we've right. solved it for ourselves. And then we're like, let's just solve it for everyone.
And I love how affordable you are. It's a subscription-based mm-hmm. model. So I guess the disadvantage of that would be if I wanted to do something, if I came off your plan, I'd need to find some other solution, right? So I'd have to go to a web developer or something. So maybe give me some value add mm-hmm. of why I should stay on a plan.
Well, I mean, if you think the average web developer's cost is around $120 an hour, mm-hmm. And our costs are $29 a month. And right, we've right. built some of the largest, we are those web developers. Yeah. We just want to bless the church because we want more people in heaven. And we believe that that's how they're going to get there is through the church. And through people. So, you know, you're getting that high level experience, but you're getting it for like just oddly affordable. You know, yeah. we might be the fools, but we just really yeah. want to help.
Yeah.
You can migrate off, but you will have to do it. You'll have to do it yourself. Like you'll right. have to build your own website and you'll have to train the people yeah. to do that. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk top pages on a website. What are people going to the most? What should I be focusing on as I build my site out?
Homepage is always going to be your number one most trafficked site. Like it's the one that'll come up first in Google when you're searching. But the second one is actually one that people don't put a lot of time into. And it's actually an about page, like mm-hmm. your domain slash about. Mm-hmm. What I see a lot on church websites, and we look at a ton of church websites, is that people will put like an about link in the top, but you can't actually click it. They'll want you to like open a sub nav right. and then right. click these things that are all separate
Our
pages.
Our team, contact us.
Yeah, pastors. Yep. Like. Our vision, they're all separate pages. And you can have them as separate pages, but having that one page that kind of does like little previews of those things and then links out to more info is super important, because like Google's looking for it when they're ranking. Sometimes it goes in as like the important pages under your search result. So that about page is actually, like, I would consider it the most important, like next to the homepage.
I agree with you. So one thing I see too, I want to get your thoughts on this, is they use internal language, meaning like the main nav is like belong, believe, become.
Yeah.
Like I have
no idea what that means.
And I have to click on belong and then I contact us or plan my visit. Like you've navigated in such a way that like it's not for the outsider. About, I know what an about. Okay, I'm going to learn about you,
right?
Or our team, or like. So, how? What are your thoughts on that? How clear that main navigation needs to be?
Yeah. So, I have actually, we could do a whole talk on just this top navigation, but I like to think of it. You know, we do a lot of work in churches for next steps. You know, like, what's your next step, right? I like to think of the top navigation as that next steps journey, and I like to start with who is Jesus, because like the first thing is like, what's your first step? Like, you don't even know why you go to church. Like, some people find websites and don't know what church is about. So we like to start with Jesus, and then we're like, this is about his church. This is how you can get involved in his church. And then this is how you can become a member. And then, like, lastly, we go into, like, the giving things. So it's like, it's a journey, right? You can't just come up and be like, give online, first button.
Right.
Like,
no, I'm out.
There's no context there. And it looks like you're asking for money. Like, you want to progress people through this journey. And a lot of people do things digitally now. So we can do that across the top navigation.
Yeah. Good. All right. So tell us how we can, as we close, tell us how we can get a hold of you and find you guys.
Thechurchgo.com. We have a widget right there that connects you to our support team. So you can chat us right there. You can schedule a call with us if you want a demo. And then we're pretty active on all the social medias at The Church Go.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming. I know that you came all the way from Australia just to visit with me.
That's it.
I get that. So this is it. Thanks so much, Paul.
Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, as we're wrapping up production on this podcast and only have a few weeks left until our final episode at 430, I thought it'd be fun to go back and have some fun and drop a few of our five question segments with a few people that we've had on over the last year or so. So here's my friend Chris Abbott getting drilled with five questions. All right, number one, what is one major mistake that churches make when it comes to inviting new visitors to church?
Not using Facebook ads.
Number two, what is the number one thing that hinders church growth?
I would say superhero syndrome, where the pastor starts to do everything himself. Right. If you want, you can do that till you get to about 130, 150. And all of a sudden there's a whole social psychology with Dunbar's number and everything behind it. But the bottom line is you won't ever be able to break past that until you move from being the sole person to a coach and you start raising up other leaders to take care of people. It's the only way you can break through the 200 barrier.
Number three, what is one thing that churches could start doing right now on Facebook that would help them grow?
A simple selfie video where they literally just grab their phone and just say, hey, what's up, guys? My name is Pastor Chris, and I want to invite you out to Guts Church this Sunday. Man, sign up for plan your visit. We'll meet you at the front door, help you get your kids checked in, show you around the church, give you a tour, introduce you to some great people, and save you seats in service. Right? You create a simple video like that, post it on your Facebook page, and then turn it into a Facebook ad that leads to a landing page. You could do all of that in just a couple of minutes, and it is exponentially worth it.
Why Facebook and not? Should I be on all social media platforms? Should I focus on Facebook only?
I think all platforms are great. It's hard to stay on top of that, right? Like unless you have all your time to learn all about like Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. Right, like Twitter, LinkedIn, everything like it, that's a lot. Facebook is the biggest one. There's 2.9 billion people on Facebook and 1.9 billion people log in every single day. Right, the average person spends 38 minutes a day on Facebook, which is crazy because people think, oh, nobody's on Facebook. 1.9 billion people still log into Facebook every single day. And the largest age demographic, believe it or not, on Facebook are actually people ages 25 to 34. Right. So if you're trying to reach young families, believe it or not, they're still on Facebook. So I just think it's the best bang for your buck.
What is the number one thing that I can do to get my church's website to the top of Google?
Ooh, man, Ryan is way better at this than I am. But I would say switching to an Omega website will help you overnight. Their SEO is baked in, and then I think there's some that's probably one of the biggest things. We have a course where we teach a bunch of churches how to do this. And there's a bunch of other like SEO stuff. But you know, we have churches that literally change over to Omega, and they'll go from page 16 to page 2 like overnight, right? And then within 30 days, they're on page 1. So there's probably a lot of different things, but that's the easiest thing that I've seen.
All right, last one. The $1 million question, how do I attract millennials, young families to my church?
Yeah, so you have to have an attractive setup for young families. Right. So it's one thing to say that you have something for everybody or say that you value families. Right. But you have to actually prove it. Right. Which usually means investing in that area. Right. So maybe you invest in a really nice playground. Maybe you invest in an ice cream machine. Maybe you go buy a bounce house or something like that. Right. But something attractive that proves we love kids and we're investing in that area. And this is the most important part. Once you do that, then you need to tell people about it, right? That's where a lot of churches miss it, right? They just think, okay, hey, we bought a bounce house, we bought an ice cream machine. Like, hey, we bought this giant playground. It's amazing for kids. The kids love it, right? But if you don't tell anybody about it, right? It's like the Field of Dreams syndrome, right? If you build it, they will come. That's not true, right? Just you have to build it, and then you have to tell people about it, and then they'll come.
Good. Awesome. Well, man, thanks for this insight. Love learning from you and everything that that you offer. How can people find you and keep up with your stuff?
I've got a YouTube channel. We've got tons of free training on there about church growth, Facebook ads, social media landing pages, all that stuff. So if you literally just go to YouTube, type in my name, Chris Abbott, ABBOTT. I got tons of videos out there, or you can connect with us over at churchmarketinguniversity.com and take a look at what Ryan and I are doing, and maybe take a look at either CMU Pro or CMU Grow. We've got a lot of great resources on there.
Awesome. Thanks for the time, man.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Carl. This is awesome, man.
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Hey guys, thanks so much for hanging out this week. MakingSundayHappen.com is the website to go to for all archive episodes of our show, as well as subscribing to the show. You won't miss anything if you go there. MakingSundayHappen.com. All right, next week I welcome self-proclaimed Planning Center Ninja Jimmy Cooper will be in the house, along with an update on new features hitting the presentation software Easy Worship with Jared Warren from the Easy Worship team. That's all next week. We'll go out there and create some incredible worship experiences at your church this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.